opportunity. I think God wants to challenge us during this service. One, to challenge us in His Word about what that means. And then two, at the end, and not take all day, it's not my point of this thing, is for us to give thanks together to God. And sometimes giving thanks is inconvenient. It's a little inconvenient sometimes to really be thankful. You know, it's easier to be kind of caught in our own word. It's not always convenient to be thankful and to show our appreciation. Sometimes it might cost us 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness, 5 minutes. I'm not that thankful, God. You know, I'm not that thankful. I want to get out of here. I don't want to give thanks at the end. I want to, you know, do my part and say I went to church and get out of here and beat the crowd. And I don't want to give thanks at the end, God. But maybe God would really love us collectively to hang on today and just thank Him. And just thank Him. So I'm going to ask you to do something. You're no prisoner, and I'm not going to shoot you or throw anything at you. My arm's not as good as it once was. My shoulder's a little crickety. I don't know if Boo could hit anybody with something. I don't know if Josh has an arm. Josh will fool you. But I know Joe was an old baseball player. He'll fool you. I won't throw anything at you, but I'm going to ask you if you have the ability today to hang in. Not for me, because I want us as a collective body, and those that are home, if you choose to be home today, then you as well, to let's thank Him together at the end. That's what I foresee. I don't know how Holy Spirit's going to do this today. But I think it's a time that we really need to look at this being thankful, grateful, appreciative. And so I think Holy Spirit would appreciate. You say, oh, man, preacher, you're going to say that? I'm going to say it. I think He'd appreciate if at the end, if we stay together and not disturb, and let's just praise Him and thank Him at the end. And if you have to go, I can say, have at it. We love you anyway. Some times you have places you got to go. You may have to go to work or something, and that's fine. But try your best. And let's see if 5 minutes of thankfulness might change your day or your week, okay? So let's play this real quick video, and we'll try to get going. Dim the lights if you can, and if you guys up there on the camera can zoom in so the people at home can actually see the video, okay?
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this? What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
You were kind of rough on Charlie Brown, weren't you, sir?
Rough? Look at this. Is this what you call a Thanksgiving Day dinner? Did we come across town for this? We're supposed to be served a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Now, wait a minute, sir. Did he invite you here to dinner? Or did you invite yourself and us too?
Gee, I never thought of it like that. Do you think I hurt old Chuck's feelings? I bet I hurt his feelings, huh? Golly, why can't I act right outside of a baseball game? Marcy, maybe you can go to old Chuck and patch things up for me. Maybe you can tell him how I really feel. Tell him that I didn't mean it the way it sounded. Marcy, you can do it. You go see him and tell him that I really like him and that the dinner is okay with me.
Well, I don't know, but I'll try. I think maybe you should go to Chuck and tell him yourself.
No, Marcy, I'll just ruin everything. You know I'm too brusque and rough. You go and speak for me.
Well, okay.
This is not unlike another famous Thanksgiving episode. Do you remember the story of John Alden and Priscilla Mullins and Captain Miles Standish?
This isn't like that one at all.
Don't feel bad, Chuck. Peppermint Patty didn't mean all those things she said. Actually, she really likes you.
I don't feel bad for myself. I just feel bad because I ruined everyone's Thanksgiving.
But Thanksgiving is more than eating, Chuck. You heard what Linus was saying out there. Those early pilgrims were thankful for what had happened to them. And we should be thankful, too. We should just be thankful for being together. I think that's what they mean by Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown.
Psst! Come here!
See you later, Charles.
Charles?
He's all yours, Priscilla.
Priscilla? Priscilla? Apologies accepted, Chuck, old boy?
Sure.
There's enough problems in the world already, Chuck, without these stupid misunderstandings. Let's not play lover's game.
All right. Say happy Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown. You know, when they stopped playing stuff like that on TV and they started playing a lot of other stuff, you know, I'm starting to sound old like it was when I was a kid. But, I mean, there are good lessons in that kind of stuff, isn't there? You know, say be thankful, Chuck. Turn to somebody on your left and say, be thankful, Peppermint Patty. Priscilla, thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thanksgiving is an important day for this family. It's our favorite holiday. It's Jake's favorite holiday. It's my favorite holiday for a lot of reasons. One is it's the one holiday that we seem to, as a family, get to spend more time together. And, we get to have dinner, but there's, you know, Christmas is an awesome thing. And if we look at the meaning behind holidays, you got to understand all holidays have become sort of a mix of secular and religious experiences. If you think you're wrong, in America, we celebrate them both religiously and secularly. We do, okay? We just got to accept that fact. Oh, I'm so holy, I just do it religiously. I don't think so. But anyway, at Christmas, it's busy. And it's an awesome thing, and we read the scripture, and it's an awesome thing. And at Easter, it's a powerful thing, but in ministry, it's a very busy time as well. One awesome thing, just me being selfish for a minute, Thanksgiving is the time my family gets to sit around and be together. That is a rare, 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 rare thing. And all the other holidays, that doesn't happen. And I'm not trying to say, oh, poor us. We're excited for the call. We're excited for the opportunity that God has given us. We don't have to do that. Nobody drafted us. We accepted this calling, and we're happy with it. But Thanksgiving, there's just something nice about taking one day, watching some football, eating some dinner, and sitting around talking to your family. Isn't that a cool thing? I mean, if those of you that get to do that, that's an awesome thing, right? But it is a time that I know all my life, even as a child, you know, and I'm sure I've missed years when I was probably crazy. But even as a child, I remember sitting around thinking how thankful I was. Thankful to go up my grandparents, two sets of grandparents, and be reared most of my life by two loving sets of grandparents who taught me a lot. You know, having those awesome special dinners and those memories. I remember back then even saying, oh, my goodness, it's so awesome. I would look forward to Thanksgiving. It was a thankful time. It was a time to be thankful. So I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to talk about what being thankful means for children of God and what that might unlock in our lives scripturally. What the simple fact of being thankful, how that may revolutionize our lives scripturally, okay? So we're going to read a couple of scriptures as we go, but I'm going to start with just one simple scripture, and it's in the Psalms 118 to 24. Psalm 118 and 24. One simple scripture. If you find it and you want to and you're able, you can stand for the reading of the word. We can stand because we're thankful. I think it's good in this year to be remembered, to remember being thankful. So here's the scripture. It's a short one. Are you there? Because if I start reading and you're not there, you're going to miss it. So here we go. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me say it one more time. This day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You may be seated. And I want to say, Roy, I've not forgot you. I felt the Holy Spirit moving. At the end, we're going to give thanks to God. We're going to pray. And I want to give Roy an opportunity to say something to the church, okay? I do want to do that. But this is the day. This day. November, what is today? The 20 what? You guys don't even know the day. How can it be? 22nd? November 22nd, 2020. God created this day. He made it and he told us, be thankful for today. Rejoice about today. God made this day. God made this year. God made this time. God made these challenges. God made these opportunities. God's glory is on this day. God's victory is on this day. God's calling is on this day. God's anointing is on this day. God's excited about this day. God woke you up today. God created you to do something today. God put you in this day. We grow up in America and we're conditioned. We're conditioned. What's conditioning? I don't think God put it in us to have the view of time we have. I think we condition our children. I think we put things, we teach them about time in a way that we understand it. And so what we do as a culture is we tell kids that certain days are more important than other days. Monday through Friday's just getting through it. Well, there was an old song, I'm living for the weekend. And so we teach our children from a young age that this scripture is not true. That we waste days and we waste days. And some days we look down on and this is a bad day and I don't like this day. And I like Saturdays and I like vacation days. And you know, I remember being a kid, you get taught that way, right? You look forward to summer vacation. And you know, and you look forever for some date in the future. Tomorrow may never come. We've got today. That's all you got. And it's such an important thing that God in his infinite wisdom, and I know we got a lot of gods in the room. A lot of us want to tell God how to do his job. I did that in law school once. I went and told a professor that I thought he graded me too leniently, and I thought I was trying to be all, you know, all whatever. It was pride. And he should give me a lower grade. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, son, I've been doing this a long time. You barely can do your job. You do yours and let me do mine. I believe God's telling us, I'm doing okay up here. I got this stuff. I know what I'm doing. I've been creating days since the beginning of time. And I created this day for this time. I preordained this day, God is saying. Oh, but it's a bad day. Really? So you're going to look at God. You read the scripture. And he gave us this day. And we're going to look at him right now and say, God, this is a bad day you made for me. You might do it down here. But I guarantee you on judgment day, you're not going to look him in the eye and get away with that. To look God in the eye and say, this is a bad day. The day that you made special for me. Do you realize he made this day special for you and me? He could have placed you at any time in history. He could have placed you at the time of the Black Plague in the Middle Ages when people died at the age of 13. He could have placed you at a time when we were running and they were beheading Christians and feeding us to lions. He could have made you at any time. He could have made you in a time and a place. He could have set you in another continent. He could have set you in another culture. He could have made you any way he wanted to make you. But he chose to make you who you are and put you in this day. This is a day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad about it. I I think this, and this is one of those I think things. And they tell preachers, never preach what you think, preach what you know. But this is a statement I'm going to say that is an opinion. I always try to just give a disclaimer on opinions, because there's no way to quantifiably prove this statement. But in my memory, and I would almost guess, just because of the way culture has become and all the different gods we've created, that this might be so. This might be the least thankful period in the history of the church. I said the church. I didn't say the world. This might be the period where it seems like the church has more complaints levied against their God than any time I remember. Because we are not thankful for the day. We're looking for some other day. Maybe someday. I know the best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to that too. But I tell you this, my God gave me this day, and I shall rejoice in it and be thankful and glad that I have today. Are we thankful as a church? Are we thankful as a culture? Are the people of God thankful this morning for 2020 November? Are you thankful for this day and this opportunity? You say, well, I'm struggling. Bad things are going on. Friend, there's always going to be things. But I'm here to tell you that God did not put this day into creation for you to be miserable. Being miserable is a choice. I saw a documentary one time on the Appalachian Trail, and it blew my mind. And basically what it's about, if you know, people will hike from Georgia to Maine, and they take 7 months out of a year, and they go out in the woods with nothing, with knapsacks, and there's towns you go into and get refreshed and things. And they will take 7 months, quit jobs, quit civilization, leave their families, leave everybody they know. They even take on a pseudo name. They call themselves, you know, like I would be like, you know, Roadrunner or something. You know, just make up a name. And they all hike this trail. And I saw a documentary on it one time. Because it's curious. I like studying people. And it's curious to me why people do what people do. Do you ever think that way? And so to me, my first thing is, what in the world? I mean, I love getting in nature. I love hiking. I'm not a great fisherman like some of these in the room that, you know, really they should just do it for a living. I mean, they're that good. Now, they're missing their calling. But I like being in the woods. But here's the thing. I don't want to leave my wife, and I don't want to leave my kids. I don't want to leave my church for 7 months. Nothing against it. But God called me to do some stuff. And, you know, I guess I could go out and try to preach salvation to the squirrels, and some of them probably need saved, but it's not my calling. But they asked these guys, they said, why do you do what you do? And one guy said something I'll never forget that changed my life. He said this, because I'll never forget it. He said, I guess people do things for different reasons, but he said, you learn a lot out here. And he said, this is what I've learned. When you're out here, you can be cold, wet, and miserable, or you can be cold and wet. The miserable is up to you. You see, you learn out there on the trail that there's certain things you can't control in life, and sometimes we have a hard time with that. We're miserable when we lose control. But what you learn when you're out in nature, when you really realize what's going on, it's an illusion that we have control to begin with. God is in control. And so the things that come against you, the things in your head, the struggles, the life, the things that happen, it's all things that are going to be there. But the miserable is up to you and I. We've got to make their mind up that today is the day that God intended us to live in. And we got to make the most of today. This is your day. This is the church's day. So I'm going to read something in Philippians 4. Every ball game I go to, I'm watching my son play basketball yesterday. We were. And, you know, every ball game you go to, they put this verse, Philippians 4:13 on their shirts or on their arms. And one team had it on their shirt yesterday. And And I thought, wow, that's cool. You know, that's great. And I do think it's great. I think it's great that you do give God glory. I know, you know, we can be cynical and sit back and say, well, you do that and that, but that. But listen, I'd rather them write that than something else. It's just, it's all right. You know, we'll take it. We'll take it. But it's one of the most misconstrued verses. You guys know the verse, right? I can do all things through God, Christ who strengthens me. And we use that to think, well, I can go make $1 billion. I can go buy a Ferrari. I can go bench press 800 pounds like Potter. I can do whatever. But if you read the scripture, I want to read in context. I want to start at verse 10. That's not at all what the writer is saying, Paul. He says this, starting in verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned about me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty of lifting, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, what he's saying is in good times and bad, the secret is I know that I am blessed either way. That me waking up this morning made me blessed. That me living makes me blessed. That me being able to praise God makes me blessed. By the way, Paul wrote that, as you know, in prison, as he awaited execution. So here's Paul in prison facing a death sentence, and he's writing to his friends back home in Philippi, one of the churches he apostled, and he's saying, guys, it's okay. I appreciate you guys loving me. I appreciate your gifts and your supports and your prayers. We appreciate that. But he says this. He says, whatever's coming, I'm all right, because I've learned that if you really figure it out, it's all God anyway. It's God. It's Christ to live, and it's to die is gain, and to live is Christ. Right? Either way we go, He's got us. I woke up this morning, and I don't mean to say all this. God is preaching to me too this morning. I don't mean to say that I wake up every morning and I skip. And if you saw me skip, you wouldn't want to. I just don't roll that way. I'm sorry. To each their own. I ain't skipping. Toxic masculinity. I just am what God made me. I ain't judging you, but I am what God made me, and I ain't skipping. So anyway, I probably would skip if I was any good at skipping. I don't want you to think that I'm sitting here saying I get up skipping every morning, and I'm just, that I don't have days where I forget this message. But that's why God is giving us this message. I woke up this morning. You have that picture, Lakin? I woke up this morning. Did anybody see sunrise this morning? And I took a picture of it. And I just couldn't. The picture never does justice on sunsets and sunrises and skylines. I just looked outside and I said, wow, God, thank you for letting me see this. I went back in and I woke Val up. And I don't know if she even remembers, but she said sweet things. She said, oh, that's pretty. But, you know, I don't know if she remembers or not. But I said, look at the whole room was pink. Like inside, like the light was shining in the whole house, just had a pink, a beautiful look to it. And I just said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I mean, it may not be the biggest thing. It didn't give me $1 million. It didn't send me to Maui or somewhere else I love. But it was a reminder that God loves us. And God created this day. And He put us in this day for a reason. It all begins with a heart of gratitude. It's how we look at the thing, is what I was saying. You got to have gratitude in your heart. You can take the most spoiled kids. And kids are kids. I mean, they're not perfect. None of them are perfect. They're awesome. I mean, all kids are awesome. But you can spoil a kid, and you can take the most spoiled kid, and you can lavishly throw him millions of dollars and every kind of brand name this and every kind of thing in the world. And that doesn't mean they'll have a grateful heart necessarily. Doesn't mean they won't. They might. You can also take a kid who has nothing, and that doesn't mean he does not have a grateful heart. It's all about the heart. Do they have gratitude? And there's something about having a heart of gratitude. And what you will see is that one of the things where you find a heart of gratitude is when you get to a place where you realize that nobody owes you nothing. That God doesn't owe you this. You got to understand that. Because we don't have a grateful heart, and we usually are miserable people when we think that we're either victims or people owe us. And when you counsel people or talk to people, you get that a lot. And most time we don't say that. We don't come in and say, God owes me. But what our actions show is that we feel like we're owed something. We feel let down by life. We feel like our bosses owe us, our pastors owe us, our spouses owe us, our coaches owe us, the teachers for our kids owe us. Everybody owes us. And then we teach our kids, everybody owes you. If you make an F, it's because you had a bad teacher. If you don't play ball enough, it's because you got a bad coach. And we reinforce that because we teach our children that they're owed something. And when you have that mindset of a heart that feels like it's owed something, you don't have a heart of gratitude. Because you can't be thankful for what you have and at the same time feel like you're owed something more. But what I realize when I read the scripture is this. Jesus doesn't owe me anything. He don't owe you anything either. In fact, if I got what I deserved, I would be hanging on a cross. If I got what I deserve, I would already be arrested and waiting trial for my execution. You said, well, you haven't killed anybody. The day's young. But Jesus says a little different standard. He looks at sins a little differently. He says if you have hate in your heart, you kill your brother. You say, well, I don't really say I hate anybody. No, but do we talk bad about people? You say, well, it's true. It doesn't matter. Do you talk bad about people? Then Jesus says you're murdering them. You understand that? Jesus says when you have lust in your heart, you've done the act. I mean, Jesus says, I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at things different than you. Jesus says all have failed. All are guilty. All have come short of God's glory. And so if I got what I deserved, if I got what I was owed, I want to get what I'm owed. I want to get mine. If I got mine, mine would be I would be hanging on a cross. Mine would be I would take the whips. Mine would be I would take the nails in my hands. Mine would be I would take the nails in my feet. And the disciples, Paul, even said, even if I got that, I'll be thankful because I get to share what Jesus had. Whoa. So I don't get what I'm owed, thank God, because I'm not owed nothing. Everything we get on this life, every breath, every time you wake up, every time you look at a grandbaby's eyes, it's grace. It's more than we deserve. It's more than you are owed. God has given you His grace out of mercy and love. He's not giving us what we're owed. He's not giving us what we deserve. He's giving us way more than that. And if we realize that, how can we not be grateful? Because every day is grace, and every day is more than I'm owed. It's like going to Walmart, and every time you go, which I don't suggest, I suggest you be honest. But every time you go, you give them $100, and they give you for your groceries, and they give you $200 back. Whoa, that'd be grace. That'd also be stealing if I knew it, but... But that would be grace. But it's like that every day because you say no matter how bad it is, no matter how much stress there is in the world, it beats a cross and it beats being beaten and it beats dying. I am a slave to His love. I am free to the world. But the scripture says I am a slave. I am bound to His love. Love, grace. And so, how, as a slave to His love, who has been redeemed and who's been bought and who's done all that for me, can I not be grateful? If I were lying in dead, I have to say, one of the greatest, and I'm not, there is a time to grieve, there's a time to mourn. Mourning has its place, it's normal human emotion. When I bury somebody, if I don't be buried first, I will mourn. I have mourned many times in my life. That's part of life, and we know that from many people in the room who have done that lately. We know that's part of it. But I never will forget when I was in the hospital when Travis Sturgeon, one of my dear friends, passed away. And Dad and I, you know, he was healthy. He was young. He was healthy, younger than me. And we were at a Romano's restaurant, and they called and said, Travis is sick. Sick? He did a wedding? Yes. You know, what do you mean sick? Well, he's got, they say sick, they're going to have to med flight. Travis, what's going on? And we go to the hospital, and I don't want to get graphic in case his family watches, but we actually watch him pass away and with the family. And or pass from this life to another better one. But I never will forget his dad, Randy, who's a known minister in this area, and he was no doubt grieving. He was broken. I mean, that's his son. You know? And a son that was preaching the word and standing for something. And Randy looks, I don't think he meant to look at us particularly. We were just there. But he looks at us. I make eye contact with him. And he says something that will forever challenge me. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the Lord. And it blew my mind. It blew my mind. But it also reminds me this morning that even in the worst of times, that I know that this life is but a vapor. And I believe, you know, he told the thief, God is not bound by time. And he told the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise, although Jesus went somewhere else. So how is that? I don't believe God is bound by time. And I don't believe people are in the presence of God just sitting waiting on us. I can't prove this, but I sometimes believe it's just like we're all there together. I mean, they don't need to be just like, you know, because this is just a vapor. To eternity, the years we're here is a vapor. It's nothing. And so I thank God that he gives us a heart of gratitude. So real quick, we'll look at two stories and we're going to be finished in the Bible. I was going to read them, but I'll try not to read all of them for time. About what it means to be thankful and what that can do in your life. What could that unlock in your life? I want to look at 2 Chronicles 20. And basically, it's about a man named Jehoshaphat, a king. And there was three different armies, three different nations coming against him. He was in a crisis. How many knows if we as America were to be attacked today by, you know, Russia, China, and Iran or something? That'd be tough to fight three people at once. Sal, that would be one we would have to really dig in for. You know, God would have to be with us. That would be tough to fight three enemies at once. And so Jehoshaphat was surrounded. He was desperate. He was terrified. The Word of God says that he was terrified by this news. And so he begged the Lord for guidance. And it said, so he ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting, and all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's face. So he basically called the church. Can you imagine that? We're facing a crisis, and we call the church together. He called the nation together. And the nation of Israel was God's people, so it's like calling the church. So we call all the church together, and we say we're facing this big enemy, and we're desperate. And it said, he stood before the community, this is verse 5, and in front of the new courtyard of the temple, and he prayed to God. And in his prayers, he started reminding God. He started reminding the people also of the things that God had already brought them through, of the places that God had already brought them out of. See, we forget those things. When we're in our current struggle, we forget all the places God has already brought us from. See, those things make us grateful, but the enemy doesn't want us grateful. He wants us to be angry about where we are and to forget every blessing of God. And so he starts to pray, Jehoshaphat does, and remind God of his promises, and remind God of where he brought him, and remind the people of the same thing. And it said this, all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Men. in crisis, we are called to lead our families. Families don't need to be led necessarily. And listen, this isn't just for men. Men are the leaders of the household. I can't. That's biblical. I mean, if you say, oh, that's sexist. Well, I don't care what you call it. That's biblical. But there are situations where women do have to step up. There's no men in the household. And God will equip you the same way. He may not be the same way. He will equip you to lead your family. He will not leave you alone. He will be your father. He will be your right hand. He will be your strong tower. But men who are in this room, you are called to lead your family. And they don't need necessarily lead when times are so great. They need a leader who will stand up when times are hard, will stand beside their children. The children need to know. They need to see. And so it said the men came and they stood up with their families. And the Spirit of the Lord came over one man. I'm down in verse 14. And it was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, and son of Mattaniah. And it said this. The Lord gave him a prophetic word in verse 15. And it says this. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. And then later on, you read down, it says in verse 19, that the Levites, the clans of Kohath and Korah, they all stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. So you got to understand the situation. They're surrounded by three enemies, and it's a desperate time. It says the king is terrified, but God gives them a word. They pray and they seek God, and God gives them a word and says, I'm going to deliver you like I always have delivered you. You got to trust me. And so what they started doing is they started praising God even though they weren't victorious yet. I don't want to see a revival break out when they announce a cure for COVID because that's weak. I think we as a church should be in revival during the middle of COVID and praise God like we've already won because we have already won. I don't think we should have the church houses filled again when the vaccine's announced. If you can't praise him in the storm, don't praise him in the sunshine, friend. And so they begin to praise him. But here's where I wanted to go. In verse 21, as the morning approached the battle, when God told them to go out, go face the lions head on, outnumbered, surrounded, he said, just go out and praise me. Give me praise. And in verse 21, it says this. It says, at that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord, well, before that, 21, I'm sorry. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. So here they're going into battle. The big guns are back here. They got the praise team up front. I think the praise team ought to be the ones that can take the bullets. You better be careful who you put in a praise team because they're supposed to be up front. They're supposed to be leading the troops. You better be about it when you're in a praise team because you're going to get some bullets when you're up front, friend. You got to be ready for some bullets. But here's what they did. They began to praise him, it says. And here's what they sang. This was the song they sung as they went to what could have been their death. They didn't sing, dum, 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 dum. What's that song? I get the wedding march and the death march kind of mixed up. They're kind of close. Josh, you do that? I see Josh. Oh, yeah. No, not that I'm... The songs are kind of... They're confusing. I'm in trouble. Okay. All right, mama's not here, so now mama number two gets me. I'm whooped either way. They didn't go into battle singing that death march. They went in saying this. Give thanks to the Lord. They hadn't got anything yet. And they were already thanking him. They were already thanking him. keep waiting for God to do something. And he says, go into battle, face your enemies, and give me thanks before you even start fighting. Give me thanks before you even start fighting. And so when they started to sing, the enemy started being confused, and it was just like, God told them that there were dead bodies all around. They started fighting each other, and the people kept on praising and thanking. They just walked in and took the bounty. Took all the treasures, took all the weapons, took all the stuff. They just walked on through. Because there was a pathway to victory through their thankful heart. Your thankful heart becomes a pathway to victory. So many times we're restricted or constricted. We constrict God's hands because we close off our heart when God says, give me thanks before the victory. Sometimes we don't get our victory because we're not thankful. We got to be thankful in all situations. We will have 99 blessings and we'll focus on the one problem because the enemy puts that in our head. All the things we have to be blessed about. We have so many things to be blessed about. You know what? I went in the sink this morning. I did something that most of the world doesn't have. I turned on a thing and water came out. No, you're laughing. There's places in the world that would have a party. They would go nuts. There's actually people that don't even have water to drink. They don't even have a well. They're sending money to try to dig wells for people. There are people actually dying right now because they have not water to drink. There's people that are dying because they don't have sanitation. They can't flush a toilet. They can't wash their hands. We are among the 97th percentile of wealth in this country. If you were homeless and on the street, do you realize that? We think, oh, but the devil says, oh, I don't wear my Gucci. And oh, I watch the lifestyles of the rich and famous, and I don't have all the stuff they have. Oh, I don't have a big new truck like this and that one. Oh, I don't have this and I don't have that. We are blessed. We are not persecuted. Could have been born in the time of the Black Plague. Think COVID's tough. They were just dropping like a half the population dying in the streets. They were just dead out in the street. They'd walk out and die. People stepping over them. Oh, COVID. I know. Yeah, I know. It's a bad thing. It's a serious thing. Let's take it serious. But we got to get some perspective here. God is still in control. We got to thank him. We got to thank him. Thanksgiving is a path to victory. But we got to give thanks before victory. When it's a path to something, that means it precedes it. You got to go through it to get to it. We have to be willing to go through that path of thanksgiving to get to our victory. I want to read one more story in the scripture. It's found in the Gospel of Luke. And if Dad's hanging in there, and I'm sure he is, and he's watching you. Pastor Var is coming to town. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows who you're gossiping to, so you could be good for goodness sake. Oh, I stay in trouble. What do you think? I've been in trouble for half a century. I ain't scared. No, I love you, Dad. You're awesome, and he's a great leader. And you know, the honest truth is everything, almost 99% of, I would say almost 100% of everything that's, we have total agreement on in this family. We have total agreement. I mean, we have different ways of saying it, but we say the same stuff if you really think about it. I think he's just a, you know, he's a special, special person. And my mom is, and my sister Will and Val and all the kids. But so are you. You're a part of this thing, man. But Luke 17, real quick, we're finishing. And this is what it said. Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village, there were 10 lepers standing at a distance, crying out, Jesus! Master! Have mercy on us! Lepers, see, they couldn't be around people. And that's honestly what COVID has made people. People treat people who've had COVID like lepers. Ooh, ooh, stay away! You're a leper! And I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with following the rules. I don't. But you're still a person. And they treated these people like lepers. They were lepers. They were put in colonies. They couldn't be around people. And if they walked through a community, anywhere near a road, and I passed you, I would yell, unclean, unclean! And that would mean you'd run way out of the way. Right? It wasn't no six-foot rule, Joe. It was like a 600-yard rule. We'd have to have a big stage if we had that big room. And so these people were considered unclean. And Jesus looked at them and he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And it said this. He gave them a commandment. He gave them something. You do this. You trust me. You trust me. But there was a command to it. There was an exercise of faith to it. We don't like that part. We want little twinkle dust. Poof. But when I challenge you to say, if you do this, 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 this is going to happen. We don't like that because it takes a commitment on our part and it takes a faith on our part. And so the Word of God says those men turned and went. In other words, they did what he said to do. And when they did what he said to do, it said they were cleansed of their leprosy. They acted as he told them to act. They had faith to do what he told them to do. And they were healed of their condition. One of them came back when he saw he was cleaned, healed. And he was shouting. There's so many examples of shouting. And I don't make fun of anybody if you don't. You can worship God in different ways. And there are times I like to just sit. I mean, there's times youth is powerful. And sometimes I'm up. But there's plenty of times it's so deep. I'm almost in like a, you know, I mean, I'm not even, we all have different ways of worshiping. But there's so many examples of this Bible where when people get healed and God does things and just they're praising God, where the Bible says the word, they shout it. God put emotion in us and he put passion in us for a reason. It's not to yell at the UT Vols or the UK Wildcats, or it's definitely not to yell at your wife. Or to yell for help when your wife's chasing you. It's to praise God. One of them came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he'd done. This man was a Samaritan. Now, you remember from the woman at the well. Samaritans were not people that were thought of at this time yet as God's people. These were outcast people. So I don't know what you called outcast now. I mean, is it a felon? Is it a homeless? Is it a drug addict? Is it a sex? I don't know what you call an outlaw or a Samaritan. But Jesus says, Jesus loved them all. Jesus loves the Samaritans. He loves them all. And so this man was a Samaritan who wouldn't have even understood the Hebrew law and stuff, but he came back. And Jesus asked him, didn't I heal 10 men? I wonder if God ever, I mean, you know, we are the temple. We can have church anywhere, but we do consecrate this building. And I wonder if God doesn't sit here on Sunday morning and say something, say, haven't I healed 5,000 here? Didn't I heal 10 men? Jesus says that. He says, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give God glory? Except for this foreigner. This one that you all despise. This one that you all just think's crazy and nutty. They might be crazy and nutty. But they're bold enough and faithful enough and thankful enough to come to God's house and give him thanks for what he did to them. How about you? How about me? And so Jesus said to the man, Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. In the King James, it says your faith has made you whole. The literal word, if we want to get literal translation word, is saved you. So 10 men, and we're getting close. We're coasting in. The last bathroom stops an hour ago. You got to hold it, kids. We're close enough. So 10 of them were obedient in faith to be healed physically. But one man went a little further to the next step and was made whole and was healed spiritually as well. That man got another step. Now, you say, why do you say all that? I see so many people. I've seen so many people in these years who they come in crisis because they're facing a charge or a marital issue or they're depressed or sometimes it's just they're here, but most of the time there's an issue. That's how we all most of the time come. Nothing wrong with that. You know, when, like Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, I come for the sick. You don't go to the doctor when you're well. I stay away from all doctors unless I'm really, you know, needing one, right? So we come, we all have done this, and we're excited in the beginning, and we're thankful. But the novelty of that problem passes, and we face other challenges, and we forget about what God has already done in those things. And we start to lose our thankful heart. And not only do we lose our thankful heart, we start then questioning, what is next for me? I want another step. I want another step, God. How do I get the other step? I want to take a step. I feel like I'm stuck. I've heard that a million times. I feel like I'm stuck. I would say these 10 lepers, 9 of them end up feeling stuck. And what God told the one was this. I guess he told us all this. He said, you be thankful for the first step, and I'll give you the second one. I promise you, if they come to me and they say, Dad, I'm going to Peyton's house. Can I have a little cashola? We're going to a ball card shop. And I give them $100. To me, that'd be a good day. I mean, I think that would be a home run if I was a kid. And Jake went and spent that $100 and he came back to me and said, Dad, that wasn't enough. That's pitiful. That all you can do? Josh gave him $150. You're a sorry dad. I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy. I want more. I'm upset. I'm impatient. I'll promise you something, son. You'll never get another dime from me again to go to a ball card shop. And thank God, God has a little more grace than that, but I wonder if sometimes God isn't that way. Not that he's really that spiteful, but I wonder if he says, you want more? You're not thankful for what God gave you already. You want more? Can I get real for 5 minutes? We have to give him thanks with our words, our actions, and our thoughts. With our demeanors, with our social media posts, with how we talk to other people. I'm going to get personal. And I know the people I pick on will be okay with it. If you're not, come see me later. Nobody wants to talk to me that way. Do you remember how you were when you first came in this building? The other building? How broken? I remember because I was preaching. And all of a sudden it was like DK Metcalf or whatever that guy's name for the Seahawks. I saw some guy making speed like I've not seen since Carl Lewis in 1984. He come up this outside of that little church, and it was so packed back in those days. You couldn't hardly move. You couldn't sit. There were standing people. I mean, it was like you know. But he clear tackles, and he dove. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not making light of this. He dove. I was just starting. I hadn't even got really into the altar call all the way. I was just kind of wrapping up, and he was just so desperate. You were desperate. You were miserable. Are you thankful? Do your actions show your thankfulness for what God has brought you from? And I can't. I'll do like Dad. Sorry. He's law enforcement. I'm sure that there's an exception in there somewhere. I remember seeing Regan Vaughn. 23 years behind the walls, wrote an impossible prayer and a thing. He's still supposed to be incarcerated. And he made a promise. I hear a lot of promises. I mean, if I had a dollar for every inmate says they're coming to Lost Creek and they get out. But he got out, and here he is. He was so grateful. He was happy. He was happy if I would just take him in the car, me and Jake, to watch wrestling at my house. He didn't have to be running all over the country. He was happy. He was grateful. He was appreciative. He was appreciative for one Arby's meal. Are you still appreciative, son? Can Michael, I don't want to embarrass you. Can I use you? Do I have permission? I'm putting you on the spot. Michael was incarcerated, as you know, and he got out. My job was supposed to be to go pick him up and take him to somebody else who have a home plan. Well, they didn't, but we got around to... Oh, are we online?
Yes.
I went... Oops. Thanks, Regan. I went to the bus stop. I could go to the bus stop. I went to the bus stop. My job was supposed to be to take him to somebody's home in Kingsport. I got there. That relationship fell apart. Mike said, I have nowhere to go. He had nowhere to go. He has nothing. He has a box. Bibles and stuff. It's all he got. A box. Do you have more than a box? He had literally one box on earth. One box. Sitting in a bus stop. I go pick him up. He said, what's the problem? I've been on the phone. They're not going to let me come now. This is the only plan he had, was this person. And they weren't going to let him come now. And he's got a box. And I think he had like $80 saved up or something crazy. And he said, if you could take me to a hotel in Kingsport, I'll get one night. And I said, well, what are you going to do after a night? He goes, I don't know. I'm trusting God. Well, short, long story short, here he sits. Are you grateful, my brother? I could go around this room, Joe and Selena. I don't want to bring up anything bad, but you guys remember where you were? Look at you now. Look at you now. Look at you now, a beautiful family, going to homeless ministry and helping all these other kids out on the street hurting that don't have moms and dads. I could go around this room and look at each person in this room, and you say, well, you don't understand, I'm still in a mess. I'm sure some of them are still in messes. I sometimes get messes. But that doesn't keep us from remembering what God has. Do you remember? Do you all remember? Do you remember? Sometimes we got to be reminded of yesterday's blessing. I know she remembers. Driving in the middle of the night to intercept her from getting murdered. Going on the scene of a murder and going to a police station with her all night. And all that other stuff, hiding from drug dealers and not. I know she remembers. I know Will remembers a lot of things. Misery. And you say, well, things are, I'm still struggling. But God has blessed you so much in the past. And I believe with all my heart that the path to victory and the way to the next step is for us to have greater gratitude towards what He's already doing and done for us in the past. So, we conclude with the corny part of the message. Not really. But it's what a lot of preachers would do, and I'm going to do it too. Remind you what Thanksgiving was. And I know there's a lot of debunking myths now, and they want to shoot away every history story I learned. But I'm going to stick with some of them. 1621, there was a group of religious zealots who fled England. Interestingly enough, running from a guy named King James. True story. King James wanted to codify everything, make everything the same. He wanted everybody to believe a certain way. And they said, we don't believe the way you believe, and we want freedom to practice, to worship God. And so they left, and they got here in 1620 in the first winter. Over half of them died of starvation. They had disease. Their food was going away. They had no food. You couldn't just jump on a red eye back over to England. There was no boat. The boat left them, went back to get stuff, and you're just sitting there waiting, right? And disease spread, and they even give disease to the Native Americans, and then half of them died, okay? So it was a rough time. And they made the ones that made it through that winter, there were 50. They planted some plants in spring, and what did grow, and I guarantee it wasn't as good as what we'll prayerfully get to eat Thursday. But they took what they had. They invited those 93 Native Americans, and they had dinner. 3-day festival where they said, we're going to give thanks to God. But here's the key. They were still in danger. Many would still die. Many would still starve. And many would still catch disease. But they gave thanks anyway, because God got them across that water before. If we give God thanks for the waters He's already got you across, the next step is waiting. And so what they did, they started having Thanksgivings as an annual thanks to God. And different presidents did it. Washington did it. Jefferson didn't for some reason. And they'd take turns. But then in 1863, we're finishing, something happened. Abraham Lincoln said, in the middle of a civil war, in the middle, not to get political at all, but we can look at history, of the most stressful time in this country's history, when there was actually states fighting against states at war, when brothers killed brother, when there were free men and slaves, when women had no right to vote, when there was a battle for would there even be a country, when there was a war in this country where you would go outside and see your friends and my friends fighting other people and shooting and killing and wanting to pull this country apart, to make it like Europe, which is lots of little states. Lincoln, in the middle of that war, not when the war was over, not when the war was over, in the middle of the fight, gave a proclamation, not the Emancipation Proclamation, that's another one, a good one, but he gave a Thanksgiving proclamation. And I'm going to read it. It won't take long. This is written by Abraham Lincoln. In 1863, it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence on the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. Listen to this. We have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power like no other nation has ever known. But we, this is the words of Lincoln, we have forgotten God. Period. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied us and enriched us and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to be fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole of the American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those at sea and those who are in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to the beneficent Father who dwells in our hearts. Now that is a president, ladies and gentlemen. She said, well, you just took a political stance. Come on, that's 200 years ago. I don't even know who he ran against. Josh probably does. I did it one time. But what he said was this, as we finish. You're Americans. You've been through the pilgrims. You've been through the starvations. You've been through the wars. You're going to go through more wars. World War I's coming. World War II's coming. There's going to be all kinds of movements. There's all going to be all kinds of things going to pull you and stretch you. And you're going to grow. You're going to get better. But you will get through it. Here's the thing. I'm not here to preach about America. I'm here to preach this spiritually. We are children of God. We've been through the wars before. We've been through the Romans trying to persecute us. We've been through the Reformation. We've been through the Dark Ages. We've been through the Holy Wars. We've been through all sorts of things that would try to pull us apart. But God has got us through before, and we are a grateful people, and God has created this day for us, and He's going to get us through again. God will get us through. We need to be grateful and thankful for what God gives us. So here we are, 2020. Year that everybody says with cynicism, oh, 2020, what's next? 2020, what's next in 2020? What's next? Oh, everything's bad in 2020. 2020 is horrible. 2020 is the day that God has made. And what happens next in 2020 is if the church will stand up and be grateful and preach to the world that our God is King and our God reigns and we ain't going nowhere. I ain't running. Are you? I ain't no punk. Are you? I get excited. Is it okay? You get excited? Everybody. Everybody's all today old and angry, and they all got a solution. They all think they're qualified. They're all epidemiologists, and they're all politicians. And everybody who can turn on a news station has it all figured out. But what we need to understand is we're not in control. We didn't get here through our wisdom. We didn't get through here through our talents. We didn't get here because we're better preachers or better musicians than anybody else. We got here because the divine hand of God had mercy to place us in this day. So I asked like Lincoln this question, not to a nation today, because I have no authority to speak to a nation, but to a kingdom I ask a question. Have we forgotten God? Have we forgotten what He's done for us? Have we forgotten to give thanks for all the things? The fact that we are sitting here today, the fact that things you once dreamed for, don't lose the value of yesterday's dreams. Keep dreaming, but appreciate yesterday's ones. There was a time just to be where you are. It's time to be thankful. And I wonder what would happen if today, instead of pleading for God for this and that and this and that, because God will give those things, and that's biblical. We are supposed to pray, and we're going to pray over needs. But I just wonder if our ratio of thanksgiving to requesting is out of whack. That we ask for everything and we give thanks for little. In particular, if there's any battle going on. I mean, the only time, honestly, some of us are thankful. And I'm not preaching to you. This goes for us all. This is a ministry-wide message today. This is a church-wide message today. This is for the whole church. I'm talking about the church. We're all in this together. I'm talking about this is for the church. I wonder what would happen if we would trust more and give thanks more. I wonder if we had services. Maybe we'll do that sometime, Dad. Maybe soon. Where we just got together and without everybody just grabbing mics and talking for 14 hours, we don't have time. I talked too long as it is. But if we did take time to all of us audibly just give thanks for something. Just come together and give thanks for something. I was counseling somebody recently. They were talking, I won't say this part, I mean, because we talk about all kinds of people, but I was asking them questions. They were saying, this is wrong. And I said, well, what's right? And I said, well, I hadn't thought of that. But that's an important question. Because the enemy wants you to see everything wrong. Because he wants to see you taken out. And God is saying, remember all the right. I wonder what would happen to this church and this community and this nation if this Thanksgiving we truly are thankful. And it becomes more than a turkey day or getting a fight with your family day. Or it happens sometimes, Cleet. That's what you said. Gotta be honest, we gotta keep it real. Gotta keep it real. It does happen. But you know what else could happen? We can love and give thanks. I would say this. Let me say this too, as we're gonna pray. I think we not only need to pray for, we need to be more thankful to God, we need to be more thankful for people. We have a habit of looking at somebody and picking them apart. And you can get in that cynical mindset where you can look at everybody and pick them apart. If I really want to be cynical, I can look at myself and pick myself apart the worst. And then I can go around this room starting here and here and here and here and here and pick you guys apart. Or I can just say, man, God loves you guys. And you must be awful special for God to put you here. And that don't mean there's not getting better in discipleship and growing. I need to grow. I need to disciple. I need to lead by example in that, and that's great. But there's nothing wrong with showing appreciation. It's good to show people that you appreciate them. Gerald, I appreciate your text. I respond about 95% of them. Occasionally I don't, because it depends on where I am, and then later on there might be no one. But I promise you, I read every single line, and they encourage me. And there's times in this walk that it feels lonely in this position. I don't want your pity. I say, oh, blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying there's times it feels awful good for somebody just to encourage you. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate all of you guys. I appreciate you for encouraging my father. Because I'll tell you this, he's not perfect. But I'll tell you, I promise you with all my heart, I grew up around the man. I've never seen a man love more than he loves. I've never seen a heart that breaks for people. And it truly hurts my heart when people do things that hurt him. Because it's almost like when you see a child, I don't mean he's a child, I don't mean that, but he's got that childlike love. And when he gets his heart hurt, I'm like, he didn't do a thing to deserve this. And it makes me want to go punch people square in the face. It does. I don't have it together as much as him. It hurts me because he's so innocent, and he'll cry all night because of the stuff that goes on. And I'm just like, why do you do this? Why do you hurt him? Sorry, that's true. And I won't punch you. But I'm here to say, but I was getting ready to say something good. I appreciate you all for encouraging him and for answering his texts. And for coming to church and loving on him. Because that's what he lives for. That's all he lives for. Is God and the flock. So a normal altar call, I say, who wants to get saved? And who wants to do this? And who wants to do that? And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, then today I do want you to change that. Because the first step of being thankful is to say, thank you, Jesus, for your gift on the cross. I'm going to accept that. And I want to follow you and be saved. That's the first thing. But I also think this altar call applies to everybody, because I just want us to invite you to be thankful today for God, to God. To raise your hands in the air in a minute and just say, God, thank you. Just start naming things in your head that you have to be thankful about. Because when you start looking at the things you have to be thankful about, it really, I mean, I know we still got problems, but it helps you get through the problems when you're thankful. Remember, you can be cold and wet or cold and wet and miserable. So I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes right now. And all over this room, I just want you to be thankful. I want you to ask Holy Spirit right now to show you things. Maybe this whole 2020, this whole world, this whole Facebook culture, everybody's a media star and everybody's a political commentator and everybody's this and that, has got us so cynical that we don't see our blessings enough. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank Him for life. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him that when we die, we don't really die. Thank Him that even when we bury our loved ones, we're going to see Him again. Thank Him that dreams do come true. They really do. Not all of them, but God's do. God's do. Now, if you're in this room right now and nobody's looking, and you say, the Holy Spirit's tugging on my heart, and the first thing I want to do to give thanks to Him is to invite Him back in my heart to follow Him again. Nobody's looking. Would you just raise your hand? I'm just going to pray. We're not going to do. I see your hand. We're not going to have you come up. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. We're not going to come up because the whole, I see your hand. All these rules, we're not going to come up. But I am going to pray for you, and I'm going to invite you to pray. Anyone else that says, I want to give Him the first thanks today on this Thanksgiving and give Him my heart. Last time I want to ask. I see your hand. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Now for the rest of you, as Holy Spirit starts showing you things to be thankful for, don't just do it because I say to do it, but as you start seeing things in your life that you can be thankful for, raise your hand. Don't raise it till you really feel it. If you have nothing in your heart to be thankful for, don't raise your hand. But if you have something to be thankful for today, you don't have to raise it for me. Honestly, I love you. I care about you. God puts that on my heart. And I also, as I act all tough, but family would probably tell you, I'm not as tough as I act. I'm probably more like Dad than I like to admit. I cover it with a tough exterior. But I believe all my heart, he wants to see his people thankful this morning. And I believe the next step for you is on the other side of our Thanksgiving. I believe that with all my heart. So for those of you that raised your hand, there were a whole bunch of you that said you want to invite him in your heart today and be thankful. Nobody's still looking. I want all eyes closed. But I'd like you to stand with me, and I'm going to pray. And nobody's going to look right now. But I want you to be bold enough to stand. Because you're not really thankful if you're not willing to stand. And there's people standing.